Thank you, Miss Sherry. She was singing to me. How about you? Thank you for that. I want to go ahead and admit to you something this morning. I was accused this week of timing this interim up with the beginning of Pastor Appreciation Month. And I'm not going to tell you who said that to me, but I want you to know that has never crossed my mind. And I don't know our staff that well, but if I were guessing, there's probably one guy on our staff that may have taken that to an advantage had you had the opportunity. Right, Al? Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And you see the title of the message, if you put that up for me, please. It says, Stop the Leak. And I want you to look at that for just a second. About a year ago, Karen called me from the house. We had just moved and we had bought this house over by the neighborhood Walmart. And she calls me and she says, Billy, something's running. The water is running and it's running in the house. And it's on the dining room floor and it's coming from the walls. And so I'm saying, hey, baby, I'm on my way. So I get in the car and I take off. I'm going home because I'm going home to be the husband that God has called me to be and stop this leak. And about halfway home, I think to myself, what am I going to do? I don't even own a wrench or a screwdriver. Or a mop for that. I mean, what am I going to do with this leak? So I start at that time calling people to come help us so that we could get this leak stopped. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is this leak in our lives. This leak. Did you know that God requires so much from you and I? God requires that we love Him with all of our mind, all of our heart, and all of our soul. He says, whatever we do, let's do it to the glory of God. In our relationships, God requires us. He tells us that we're to do good to all people, that we're to be really good to the people of God that are in the household of faith. God reminds us that we should be good and do good to our families. He reminds us of the wide road. He reminds us of the road that is easy, the road of the world. He also reminds us of that narrow road that leads to eternal life. God reminds us. And what God reminds us of is, church, if our actions are no different than the world, our decisions are no different, our priorities are no different, our families are no different, our love is no different, then the question we must ask is, are we really following God and following God's Word? You see, God requires us to be different. He requires us to be different than the world. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about life's greatest deadline. And the Bible says it is appointed man wants to die, and then the judgment. And we are to be prepared for that arrival. But the common thread that runs all through God's commands is very simple. God requires 100% of whatever He asks you and me to do. What is it you give 100% to? What is it you would stand up and testify this morning and you would say, Billy, I give 100% to blank. Mind, body, and soul. What would that be? What would it be in your life that you give 100% to? But you see, I believe that God commands us to give 100% of whatever He asks you and I to do. There's no loafing, there's no half-hearted, there's no lukewarm, there's no maybes in the kingdom of God. And so now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 23 and let's see what he says. He says, May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, may your whole spirit and your soul and your body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God Himself, God Himself, the God of peace, may He sanctify us through and through. Your translation may say holy. May He sanctify you wholly, with a W, W-H-O-L-L. May He sanctify you wholly. May your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And since I believe that God commands us and requires us to give 100% of everything that He asks us to do, then I shouldn't be surprised when Paul is telling us this morning in this scripture that God sanctifies me through and through, and that means it's 100%. That means God just doesn't do it a little bit. God continually sanctifies me through and through. It's 100%. You see, when a person becomes a Christian, he undergoes a radical change in his life, especially if he's had maybe an immoral background. When I became a Christian, when I was saved, the change that I could tell was that I used to be running towards sin, and now I feel like I'm running away from sin. And Christians in their early life, through the steps of spiritual growth and through the steps of self-denial, they get rid of the large, obvious things in their life. But it's sad to say many believers hold on. They stop at the big things. They don't go on to eliminate the little things in their life that seem to clutter the landscape. You see, here's my problem. I'm only speaking for Billy. Can I be honest with you this morning? Here's my problem. My problem is that I allow some of the holiness that God grants me to seep out of me, and I let some of the world creep into me. And so by the end of the day, I have less holiness than God has granted me. In other words, my holiness tank has been depleted because I've put myself in situations where the world has caused me to lose some of the holiness that God has given me. Can anybody understand what I'm talking about? Notice I didn't blame the world. I didn't blame the people. I didn't blame the situation. Instead, I blame Billy. I blame myself. You see, I've come to understand through some years and some heartache that all blame is a waste of time. If you find fault with someone else, regardless of how much you blame them, it will not change you. The only thing blame does is to exonerate. What blame does is to take the focus off of when you are looking for an external reason to explain your unhappiness or to explain your frustration. And you may succeed in making someone else feel guilty of something, but you will not succeed in changing whatever it is that's frustrating you or making you unhappy. Another word to say the same thing I was saying is this. When I get up in the morning, God gives me a halo. Can't you see it sitting on this nice, round, very visible head that's peeling, by the way, this morning? I sat in the sun with no hat on yesterday. But if I get up in the morning and I place a halo on my head, and it's straight and it's sitting on top when I leave the house and I go to work, when I get home from work, that halo is moved. It's crooked, or possibly it's not even there. So how do I stop the leak? How do I stop the leak? That's the question that I hope we can answer this morning. In the scripture on the board, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. To be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I think I'll stop the leak if I can remind myself who is granting me the holiness. Who is it that grants me this holiness? Who is it? It's God. That God is giving me, He is granting me this holiness. Look at the top of verse 23. It says, may God Himself. May God Himself. You see, we have many things throughout our house that we don't have them because we use them, and we don't have them because we need them, but we have them because someone has given them to us. Karen's great-grandma and great-aunt were artists, so they thought. And they painted all of these pictures. And we keep these pictures in our house, not because they're worth anything more than the frame they're hung in monetarily, but because of who gave them to us. Because they are special. And so they gave them to us. Someone special gave them to us. And so therefore, we hang on to them. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is we hang on to those pictures, but we will release and relish the things that God gives to us. How horrible a thought is that we'll give away something God has given to us. Something that's really special. Something that God has granted us. When God gives us something, He gives it to us because we need it. It is because we have a use for it in our lives. It is the very best for us. God never just gives us a little bit. God gives us 100%. He gives us the very best. And so knowing that, isn't it a horrible thought to think that I waste away in the world the holiness that God has chosen to give me? That I just throw it away. I have no trouble keeping those pictures, but I'll just give away God's holiness. And maybe you'll say, Billy, how in the world do you give away holiness? Well, when I listen to an off-color joke at work, I'm wasting His holiness. When I tell someone I'm going to do something and then I don't do it, I'm wasting His holiness. When the cashier gives me back the wrong change and I don't say anything, I'm wasting His holiness. When I'm supposed to be worshiping Him in church and I put other priorities in front of Him, I'm wasting His holiness. You see, if I'm going to stop the leak, I must remember that it is God who gave it to me. Remember who gave you the holiness so that I'll value it as much as I value Aunt Louisa's picture. Secondly, I'll stop the leak if I can stay at peace with God despite what is happening around me. Back in our scripture it says, the God of peace may sanctify you through and through. And Paul in his previous sections tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. And one of the reasons is for the request is so that we can make better decisions. Listen, if you make a decision when you are not content, most times you will make a harsh, hasty, bad decision. That's why they tell you don't go in the store when you're hungry. You'll make a bad decision. If you're not content, you will make a bad decision. And so today we're going to notice another reason to give thanks in all circumstances. Listen, if I'm not content with what God is doing in my life today, if I'm not at peace with what God is doing in my life today, then I am more likely to go out and waste His holiness much faster than if I were at peace with God. If I'm not content, there are many Christians that blame God for their circumstances. And at the very least, they'll blame God, maybe not for the circumstance, but they'll blame God because that he could have done something about it. And those Christians who think that way, those Christians who have that in their mind are likely to waste God's holiness when He gives it to them. Listen, the simple truth is this. You cannot value God and what God gives you if you're not at peace with God. Second Thessalonians 3:16 says, Now the Lord of peace Himself gives you peace always by all means. peace of a quiet conscience, it talks about in Romans chapter 8. Peace of a restful mind in Philippians chapter 4. Peace of a surrendered will. Peace of a hopeful heart in Isaiah chapter 50. Peace of a loving fellowship. If you're not at peace with God, then you will not value the holiness that God's given you. So I stopped the leak in my life by valuing and being at peace with God. And thirdly, I'll stop the leak if I would quit thinking that Christianity is departmentalized and realize that it's all of me. How many things in life do we departmentalize? We do it all the time. Back in our scripture, it says, may your whole spirit, may your whole soul, may your whole body be kept blameless. Unfortunately, some of us love to practice Christianity on Sunday and then live like the rest of the world on Monday. We love to come to church for an hour because it makes us feel good. But unfortunately, many of you are never seen except for this hour on this day of the week. 1 hour. Some of you get here at 9:30 so you can go 2 hours. But you're not involved in a ministry. You don't attend any other service. So therefore, you have departmentalized your life and likely you're to leak holiness. You're to leak what God has granted you. You see, you want all the benefits of the kingdom without the time constraints, without the prayer constraints, without the attendance constraints, and without it being a priority in your life. Oh, I just hurt you, didn't I? The truth, right? Isn't that how we are? I tell you every week, I'm preaching to myself. This is who we are. We want everything there is to want without all the things that there is to go with it. A few years ago, there were a rash of preachers who were involved in some immoral relationships, and it had to be that somehow they had convinced themselves that what they were doing with their body was not affecting their ability to preach and to minister. It was like they had departmentalized their body as separate from their soul and spirit. And God tells us that there is no put things in boxes. Say it for me. Departmentalize. Dr. Jeff, you ever get tongue-tied? Yes, okay, thank you. It makes me feel better. Departmentalize. So God tells us that there's no departmentalizing in our mind. Mess up in one area, mess up in all areas. And we mess up by thinking that we can separate who we are as a Christian, and then we begin to leak. We separate ourselves from the church. We separate ourselves from outreach. We separate ourselves from needy. Listen, we separate ourselves from Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, which is the greatest commandment of all time, where it says, go ye therefore and preach and teach and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Who's he talking to? He's talking to you and me, right? It's the great commandment. And when we take ourselves away from that, we separate ourselves and we wonder why we leak. We need to stop the leak by remembering simply that God requires all of me all the time, not just when it's convenient, not just when it feels good. Not just when I'm not frustrated. Not just when things are going really good in my life. All the time. God requires all the time. Fourth, I'll stop the leak if I remember that one day God's coming back. One day God's coming back. And listen, I don't want to be doing something wrong when He comes to take me home. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But boy, I have. My dad put that in my mind. But verse 23 says, be kept blameless at what? At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll stop the leak if I know and I understand that one day God's coming back. And what is it I'll be doing when God comes back? I heard one time, you better be in church on Sunday because you don't want to be doing anything else on Sunday if Jesus comes back. Isn't that right? My dad told me this when I was growing up. I was young, started to go out with my friends, and he said, Billy, he said, I'm just going to give you a little advice. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to be anywhere that you would not want someone to find you dead. I thought, wow. So I don't know how old I am, but I remember distinctly thinking, and you're going to laugh at this, but this is what went on in my little mind, is that I'll never go to the bathroom again. I don't want anybody finding me dead in the bathroom. But think about what he said. What is it and where is it that you want to be when Jesus comes back? What is it that you want to be doing when Jesus returns, when Jesus comes back to this earth? I do believe that I should not be doing the wrong thing when Jesus comes back. The wrong thing at any time, really, because we don't know when He's coming back. So the Bible tells us that we better be ready all the time. And I've considered some of the things that I've done in my life, and I think, oh, I am so glad that God didn't choose that time to come back. Of where I was in my mind, of where I was in my thought process, of where I was in my Bible study, of where I was in my prayer life, where my sin life was, I am so thankful, God, He didn't come back at that time. You ever been there, amen? Yeah. I think about those things. I think about the person that maybe... would be drunk when Jesus comes back. Or in the middle of an adulterous act when Jesus comes back. Or they've done something illegal with money when Jesus comes back. What would it be like? And if I were to ask myself and ask you this question, if God came back right now in the next 15 seconds, would He be pleased with what you're doing? Would He be pleased with what He sees? Would He be pleased with what you're thinking? Would He be pleased with where you are in your relationship to Him? Would He be pleased in your scripture reading? Would He be pleased in your process of repentance and asking forgiveness? Because if your desire is to be where He wants you to be, then He needs to be pleased with all those areas in your life. Would He be pleased this morning on right where you are and right what you're doing if He were to return? Have you ever considered that? What would I be doing when He came back? Well, I'm sitting at church and, you know, we're in worship service and Billy's up there, he's preaching, and he comes back just as I put my day's worth of candy paper in the hymnal holder. Or he comes back just as I'm marking stuff on my bulletin, because he comes back right in the rim stage as my head's going backwards. Have you thought about what is it you'll be doing when Jesus returns? Well, what we would choose to be doing, I believe, is to be worshiping. I believe we would all choose to be serving. We would all choose to be praying. We would all choose to be doing these things when He is coming back. And listen, church, if that's our desire, then we better start. We need to start praying. We need to begin. Our desire must be to serve this community and to serve our brothers and sisters, to serve the people. We better begin serving. We better begin worshiping. And we better begin praying if our desire is to be doing that when Jesus is coming back. We need to begin. We need to start. I can stop the leak by knowing that He can come anytime. He can come any day. And I don't want to be doing anything but serving God when He comes. I hate it when somebody comes to my house and they park in my driveway, and when they leave, there's a big oil spot. Don't you? There's two reasons I don't like that. One is I'm not very handy, so I really don't know how to clean that stuff up. And two is I'm always afraid when I go to somebody's house that my car will do the same thing. And so when you park in their driveway and they pull out and here's this big oil leak. And as I was thinking about this week, here's what crossed my mind. I wonder what kind of leaks God sees that we have every day. And as bad as I hate that oil leak in my driveway, I wonder what God sees when Billy gets up and he leaves church on Sunday and he sees a leak there. Or he sees me when I go to work or when I come home from work, or he sees me in an opportunity at work and he sees there's a big leak there. And I know that God hates to see the holiness spots that I leave behind every day. All the things that I leave undone, that I leave untied, that I leave unloved, that I leave unsaid. He must hate those spots, those things He sees in my life every day that I leak. So I think it's time, church. I think it's time that we do a little bit more. I think it's time that we give a little bit more. I think it's time that we get off this half-hearted more than an hour a week and never getting into your word and more than the world can offer. I think it's time. Will you commit to stop the leak in your life today? Will you commit to stop the leak at Second Baptist Church today? Hey, listen, it's for our own sake. It's for our own happiness. It's for our own peace, as well as it is for the kingdom of God. You see, when I was younger, I remember having this toothache that was miserable. And I knew I could go to my mother and she'd give me something to get me through the night. But I knew if I went to my mother the very next day where she was going to take me. And so I didn't go to my mother. I would rather have the pain than have to go to my mother and she's going to take me to the dentist. And so finally I would go to my mother when the pain was absolutely unbearable. And then she would take me to the dentist. And you know what those dentists do. I mean, they get in there and start fidgeting around. And they're going to find three things, something else to work on and fix. And I don't like going to those guys. I don't like that. And so we go to God and we pour out our heart and say, God, I need this fixed in my life. And listen, that's not what God does. When you call on God, it's like going to the dentist. He's going to fix whatever there is. He's going to do the whole thing. He's not just a part God, He's a whole God. He's going to take care of your whole mind, body, and spirit. He will cure it all and He will cure it right. And that may be all you have to do is ask. But once you call upon Him, He's going to give you the full treatment. Have you been leaking holiness? Will you commit today to fix the leak? Will you commit today to stop the leak so that you can live a life of joy and peace and happiness that's only found in Jesus Christ? And I know you've heard that all of your life. Some of you. You've heard that. Boy, if you'll live for Jesus, you'll have peace and joy and happiness. You've heard that all your life. Now here's my challenge to you, is I don't want you to just hear it. I want you to try it. I want you to commit to it. What do you have to lose? Unhappiness? What do you have to lose? No joy? What do you have to lose? Your circumstances? It's all worth it. It's worth your time and your effort. The fruit you produce is eternal fruit. So what is it that you need to stop? The leak in your life. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's because you don't know Jesus. Maybe it's because you don't realize that God refuels you. He sanctifies you through and through and through. And we give it away like it's not worthy. Maybe you don't realize that we departmentalize things in our life. And you need to come to the altar this morning and repent of that. What is it that causes you to leak? And may we grasp that and we stop the leak. Father God, thank you this morning for your word. And Father, my prayer would be that we would search our individual heart, find where the leak is in our lives, Lord. Repent of it. And fix it. Father, maybe someone in this place this morning that doesn't know Jesus, and today would be that day. If they would believe and they would confess with their mouth that you are Lord. Father, maybe someone this morning that needs to follow the Lord in baptism, that needs to join this fellowship, whatever it is, Father. My prayer for this time is that this church, these people that are gathered in your name, would make a conscious effort to be a little more, to do a little more, to love a little more. And Father, that we would stop the leaks in our life. And Father, that we would not be ashamed of those things in our life that we know shouldn't be there, Father, that we would repent those things. And Father, we would give you 100% of who and what we are. Thank you, Father, for giving us 100%. 100% of Jesus, 100% of the crucifixion, 100% of the resurrection. Thank you, Father. Father, use this time. Convict hearts and may your people respond. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Would you stand with me this morning?